Tonight it's all about choosing to serve. We make a whole lot of choices in this life, don't we, girls? We make a whole lot of choices. But we've got some powerful things to look at in the Bible. I am so glad to be with you. I thank you, Dan and Judy, for taking such good care of me, and Delta Airlines for finally getting me here after midnight. I'm so thankful for Peggy being here with the books. I'm so thankful for this moment. And girls, you know what I want to do, and I don't even know the... I think it was Eddie Arnold years ago made this song back in the 50s, "Make the World Go Away," wasn't it? "Get it off of my shoulders." If there's anything I could say to you, do you know what it is? We are too time conscious. And I wish we could make everything just go away and come into this room, and I want to lock the door, and I wasn't want to say, "Come here, little chicken. We got to talk." You see, it's very important we understand that we decide, are you ready, how spiritual we're going to be. That's another choice. So Beck's going to say, "Do you have a pen? Let me see it. Do you have paper? Do you have paper anywhere? I'm hoping that you have paper to write on. If you don't, we'll find some somewheres. How many of you brought your sword, the Bible?"
Amen.
Good. It is important what the Lord says, not what Becky Blackman says. The power is in the message, not the messenger. We must get back to the Word. And we must get back to studying. Are you a daily Bible reader? I put it on your heart. If you are not, let it begin tonight. And people say, "Oh, Becky, I don't have enough time for all those chapters." Who asked you to read a chapter? Read a verse. Read Psalms before you lay. Read a couple of verses before you lay your head on your pillow. You will be so blessed. Start being a daily Bible reader. How can you be convicted if you don't know what to do? And how do you know that the Lord is holding to your hand if you don't know He's there? Let's pray. Father, You're just so good to us. We want to stop in this moment in time and we want to ask You, oh Lord, fill us up with Your Word, Your will, what You want of us, and help us to get ourselves out of the way. Help me not to say anything You don't want me to, Lord. But help us all to come as we are in this auditorium and just put the world away and look at what You have to say, oh God. Thank You for this moment. Thank You for those wonderful men. Bless them, oh God. Bless us. And thank You for Jesus. And I thank You for the Holy Spirit. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you remember leaving home for the first time? Now, girls, I talk fast. Hang on. I know it. You're going to say, "Becky, you just talk so fast, I didn't hear that." If you don't hear a scripture, raise up your hand. That's what I want you to hear, all right? I have a Southern drawl, a Texas twang, a New Englander brogue, whatever it is, and a whole lot of rock and roll, so hang on. My mother would say to me, even if I was going out of the house for whatever reason, usually on a date, she would say, "Remember who you are and who you belong to. Remember." She didn't, you know, she never went into great detail about that. I just knew from the look in her eye, which was the almost the evil eye, "You will do this." And I knew that this was serious, serious stuff. Somebody, I heard a preacher the other day, said, "We tell our kids to remember who you are and whose you are." Don't we do that? Well, those words echo in our minds, and I know that they probably echoed in yours. Why do parents tell their children these things? Well, number one, we want them to be safe. It's a mean old world out there, and if you don't know that, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Because Satan walks among us. But don't give up, because 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is He who is in you than is in the world." What does that mean? God is bigger than Satan, and He'll win every time. Who are you going to choose? Once again, your choice. We tell our children these things because we want them to be successful. We want them to remember the words we've put in their heads. And most of all, as Christian parents, we do not want them to be lost. But I'm here to tell you, our children will make their own decisions, right? Will our grandchildren make those decisions? Yeah. Will you make your own decision? Yes. God gives us that benefit, doesn't He? This is called reality. We must be on our toes and teach our children. I want you to turn to Joshua 24:15. In Joshua 24, we have this magnificent picture. Girls, I think it's one of the most outstanding scenes of the whole Bible. Joshua stands with the 12 tribes, thousands of people. And here they are, they're finally in the promised land, and they're going to go to their designated areas that God has so told them where they're going to settle. Joshua 24. And he's inspired by God to give us the most outstanding, thought-provoking, earth-shattering, change-your-life message. We write it on pictures. We write it on cup towels and dish towels. We sew it on aprons and whatever we have in our house. And what did he say? We know it as, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Boy, Joshua, what a statement. He's a mighty man. You think it's just a coincidence that his name is Yeshua? And so is Jesus' name. Joshua's leading these men and these women into where? Promised land. Where does Jesus lead us? Promised land. Is that here? Nope. That's yet to be experienced, isn't it? What a wonderful scene it is. I think that Joshua, girls, step out of the picture and look at that. Step out of the boat and look at this. Make the Bible come alive, because if we do not make the Bible come alive, why are we Christians to begin with? So here he is standing, talking to all these tribes, and it must be like as we gather together and someone's leaving us and we all hold hands and sing, "Blessed be the tie." And what do? Cry. Because it's goodbye. There were many of these people that never saw each other again. They're on the brink of going and settling their dream home. This is going to be wonderful. And he's telling them, surely there were tears in everybody's eyes. Did you know that in this scene, there is the law of Moses? What's that? That's the law. It says that Joshua even wrote some things down. That's interesting. Now, girls, how many of you know that every time there was the law of Moses that was rolled up in a scroll, where was it transported with? The Ark of the Covenant. Girls, everybody's in this scene. Everybody's in this scene. Joshua's a mighty man. And in Joshua 24:15, let's look at the whole thing, okay? He even sets it for them. You can do whatever you want. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. There was some idolatry going on, girls, and it had been going on for a while. Remember when Moses left Egypt? How long did it take them before they built that golden calf? Do you know how long? About 30 days. But as for me, he speaks for himself first. He doesn't say, "as for my wife." He says, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve." This hits home. He's telling his children, remember who you are and whose you are. Make the right choice. Now, girls, this hits home to me. Whether you live in a tent in the year 1400 B.C., whether you live in a trailer or a brick ranch or a condo in 2013 A.D., this verse is a powerhouse. Whether you're a young chicken thinking about getting married and where you're going to go and where you're going to live, this verse is for you. You're a young mama and you got children nipping at your heels. This verse is for you. You got teenagers, you're in the wild years. This verse is for you. You got an empty nest? This verse is for you. And for the men whom we love and raise and help guide us. Wait a minute, I didn't come out right. I'll back up. I meant that the men we love and the sons we raise, okay? I won't go to that other place you're thinking. This verse is for them too, isn't it, girls? Isn't it for everybody? Isn't it for Christians too? Let's notice that Joshua stated, write this down, choose this day. It's not choose it tomorrow and wait until you're an old lady before you become a Christian. Don't wait until you're old and sick before you make things right with the Lord. Choose it today. Wasn't it Paul who said that in the New Testament, today is the day of salvation? Don't put it off. Our lives are full of choices. We choose whether or not to become a Christian. We choose to be good or not, or to behave or not. We choose whether we're going to be faithful or not. We choose whether or not we're going to be drunk on Saturday night and sleep around, don't we? We choose who we're going to marry. We choose where we're going to live. And we choose what kind of Christian we're going to be, if we are a Christian. We choose what television programs we want to set before our eyes, too. Remember, write this down, God never forces anyone to love Him. He never forces you. And isn't that better? He wants us to choose Him. And along with that comes something else. We're going to talk in a minute. Serve Him. The Jews were beginning a huge chapter in their lives. It's the promised land. Hallelujah. What will they do that with it? Will they remain true? Will they serve the Lord? How long does it take before they, if you've read the Old Testament, they're going to fall away? And not once, and not twice, but a whole bunch, right? How long is it going to take? Well, it's interesting. I'm going to give you some passages. Joshua 24:31 tells us that the Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Isn't that great? And the elders who outlived him. Okay, so you're talking a generation, maybe and a half. By the time you get to Judges 2, verses 10 and 11, you've got these words, and there arose another generation and after them who did not know the Lord. Why didn't they know the Lord? Weren't they taught? Always wonder about things like that. And it said the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. What's the Baals? That's not bells. They served the idols. Write down this passage. Some 750 years later, by the time you get to 2 Kings 16 and 2 Kings 23, do you know what Israel has done? They've done everything that God told them not to do. To the point, King Ahaz of Judah and was the and Manasseh, the father of Hezekiah, are sacrificing their children, worshiping idols in Solomon's temple, and if that weren't bad enough, there are male and female prostitutes in the temple that Solomon built to honor God. Yeah, you go read 2 Kings 16 and 23 and you will see that. Did God know this was going to happen? Yes. Was He shocked? He made man. We're shocked. It shocks me. How could they do such a thing? They needed a Savior. Fast forward this scene several thousand years, and we must ask, what will we, this generation, do with the Lord? What are we going to do with God? Will we know Him? Will we teach our children who He is? Will we let Him in our heart? Will we behave or will we misbehave? Will we obey or not? It is our choice. It's up to us. God has provided everything we need in this life. Surely we'll stay faithful, but will we? In the year 2013, do we think that these words from Joshua were only to the people of Israel? No. Because we're still writing it on pictures, sewing it on tea towels, and putting these things in our homes. Why? I think as a woman, I want to be able to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I cannot keep my children from making the choices they're going to make. I can only influence them and try to give them all kinds of advice. At the end of the day, it's between them and God. And at the end of the day, it's between you and God. I wish I could save my girl. I wish I could save my boy. You do too? Does it get you right there? All we can do is live it. And here's my question. Are you awake? Do you know what God has done for you? Do you know? I'm told Peggy that one of these books that she brings a lot, I had bought, Christians Wake Up by J.J. Turner. says that there was a man named Larry who came forward and made acknowledgments, asking for prayer. And he said, weeping, he said, "I've slept through most of my Christian life." And then J.J. Turner says, "I wonder how many others are asleep relative to God's will for their lives." That's earth-shattering for me. That's life-changing for me. We are never too old to change. We are never too old to get better. How many of you realize you're a sinner? Romans 3:23, how many have sinned? Just a few? All have sinned. But you know what? We're also told that our sins are washed away. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And this is the fellowship I have with the Father. And it says the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, continues to cleanse us from how much sin? Now I tell you, girls, that's a promise, and I'm counting on it. I want to go to heaven more than anything in this whole wide world. It's my passion. And I want you to go with me. Won't it be great? Won't it be wonderful when we can sing, and nobody cares what time it is? And we, all those voices of all the women and all the men together, oh, how wonderful it will be. It shocks me how Israel treated God, and yet it shocks me how the church treats God. If we truly realize the awesomeness of God, I think we'd worship better. I think we'd study more. I think we'd pray more. I think we'd have a relationship with the Father that wouldn't quit. Well, why can't I have it now? Nobody says you can't. That's wonderful. That means I can change. That means I can do something. I think it's wonderful that Joshua takes full responsibility for me and my house. He didn't stop and consult Mrs. Joshua. I'm going to make a real big statement here, so are you behind me or not? Write this down. Joshua walks with the Lord. Girls, he knows where he stands. Do you know that there are only two people in the Old Testament, in the Bible, that God ever said, "Take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground, because I'm with you." And who were they? Moses and Joshua. Just those two. Listen, you can write this down, that you just do not walk away from an experience like that. You don't. How can you? How can you have a conversation with the Lord and be in His presence and not be changed? I got to change, girls, and so do you. But write this down. God meets us where we are and takes us where we need to be. Isn't that great? He's not through with you yet. And He's not through with old Beck yet either. And I'm so glad. He's got so many things, and He's got to discipline me, and He's got to whip me into shape. But you know what? That means He loves me, because my mama whipped me, and she loved me. And I know that my father does the same thing. In Joshua 24:15, it says, "We will serve the Lord." So let's talk about serving. What does it mean to serve? It means to work. It means to labor. It means to do something for somebody else. I'll admit to you, I've not always understood the concept of a Christian being a servant, and wasn't quite sure I wanted to do that. It's no easy task, is it, girls? It's no easy task to be someone's servant. Why? It means surrender. Write that down. It means you got to sacrifice something. And if you're going to be God's servant, you are going to surrender your life to His. You are going to let Him manage everything. I heard Phil Sanders say the other day on television, you know, he's the program that Mac Lyon, and he said, people want a Savior. They don't want a Lord. Isn't that true? My mother used to say, people believe in God, but they don't believe God. Oh, I want you to save me, Lord, but please don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to serve you. I just want you to let me live my lifestyle. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not about you and it's not about me. It is all about Him. And that's the good way. Girls, I don't know how much, I wish I had the words to tell you that when you surrender everything to the Lord and you just let Him take over your life. You just serve Him. Let me tell you, you are the most blessed woman on the face of this planet. You finally realize what the walk with the Lord is all about. Being His daughter's the best. Romans 12:1 tells us to lay down on that sacrifice altar and be a living sacrifice, not a dead one. You're not going to serve Him when you're dead, girls. You're serving Him when you're alive. So important to know these things. In Galatians 2:20, what did Paul say? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Here's another saying. I may have given you this one the last time I was here. A half-hearted Christian cannot serve a wholehearted Savior. Isn't that true? Half-hearted? That's not going to work. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. This is what I've discovered in my 65 years. It's either all or it's nothing at all. And it's the only way to live. It's the only way to live. In John 12:26, Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me," and He says it again. Well, Jesus, what are you trying to tell us? Listen to the promise. "The Father will honor him." How wonderful. Write this down. We serve because we love. That's why we serve. Well, Becky, how do I do that? How do I get to that point where I love the Lord? Well, the answer is the very same way you learn to love anyone. You spend some time with them. You talk to them. You pray. You communicate to the Lord. You seek the Lord. You work on your relationship with Him. You get in the Word and you see who He is. You see the love of God and what He has done for you. You see God's hands working in your life, and then you do some suffering yourself, and then your faith grows. And you wander around in the wilderness a little bit. I've done that. And then you pray and you beg. And what do? You see how God has delivered you, and then, hold on to this, He delivers your children. And you get on your knees, and you say, "Thank you, God." You see how truly magnificent He is. This business of serving a God, what does it produce in me, Lord? A Joshua. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a Joshua. I want to serve Him. Listen, girls, you are either growing in the faith or you're dying on the vine. You cannot live your life in neutral. You got to do something. Don't go backwards. Go only forwards. In Texas, you know, I've told you this before. In Texas, we have this Alamo, which is the most beautiful. It's a very small little chapel, really cathedral, if you want to call it that, building. And they have a line in the sand where, you know, they say Travis, Colonel Travis, who is even on a bed, 20-something years old, and he takes his sword and he draws it in the sand. And he says, "Those of you who will fight with us for the Alamo, you know, step over." And every man, except one, stepped over. I like to think about that. That was quite a scene, don't you think? Have you drawn the line in the sand? And which way did you go? Because when you step over it, you don't go back. You stay the course. And you only look up. And you keep telling yourself that, but you don't just tell yourself that. You tell your sister that. And you tell your brother that. And you tell your children that. How do you teach your children about serving? They watch you, and you show them. You tell them about the Lord. You turn that radio off, and in the car we used to have Bible drills. And I had a 12-year-old son, many times before this age. I don't want to play. All right, sit back there and hush. The rest of us are going to talk about something. We had a long drive to church. Jeff, you're left-handed. Did you know there was a left-handed warrior in the Bible called Ehud? E-H-U-D? Really? Yes, there was. Hey, you kids, did you know that there was a little boy and he grew up crippled? You know why he grew up crippled? His nurse dropped him. She was running because they were going to kill him, and she dropped him. And it's horrible what happened to him, and he grew up crippled, but David took care of him the rest of his life. He has the weirdest name. You won't believe what it is. And pretty soon there's a little voice from the back seat saying, "What's his name?" Can you spell it? Mephibosheth. M-E-P-H-I-B-O-S-H-E-T-H. If you do not know the story of Mephibosheth, go read that story. Drill your children. Make it vibrant. Make it come alive for our children. It reconvicts them. Oh, it's wonderful to do this with your family. Show your children how to serve. We had to go and mow the lawn. We took all the kids too. Like we had 10. We had, okay, somebody go get another lawnmower. Jennifer, you run water out. So that's what she did. And we all served. And guess who all gets stars in the crown? Everybody is. If we do not involve our children now, why do we think they'll come back? It's their church now, not the church of tomorrow. It's their church right now. Girls, when we would go into the church at Forest Park, and there was a little bench over here, and it was out in the foyer, and there was a group of widow ladies just sitting there, and they'd come early. And I noticed that some of the little kids were going over, and they would hug each one and go down the aisle, and each lady. And I grabbed the kids, and I said, y'all need to do that too. Let's go do this. So every Sunday morning, they'd work and give each one of them a hug. Oh, do you know what that does to get hugs? Don't you love that? Our children grew up, and the widows died one by one. And do you know who grieved the most? All those kids. Why? Write it down. They had learned to love through serving. And that's when we learn the best love there is. That's when we learn the love of Christ is by serving, doing, sharing, caring. That meant a lot to me. Jesus said in Mark 12, 29 through 30, when he was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. He is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." That is carried over from Deuteronomy 6. What did God want from the Jews, girls? What's the big question? What did he want from them? Did he want their money? No. He wanted them, write it down, to love and obey only him. But it was their choice. What does he want of you? What does he want of me? The same thing. Love him. Obey him. Serve him. I heard a preacher once say that God has created the world for one purpose, and that's to be the proper testing ground to get us to heaven. Girls, this life we're living right now is not a dress rehearsal. We're on stage right now. The play has begun, and God is the producer, the director, and the critic. Our life here will determine our destiny. Will we choose him or not? I was in the adult class at Henderson Church in Henderson, Tennessee, and Jim Gardner was teaching, wonderful professor at Fried Hardeman. And he says that in freshman year, he asked the kids in his Bible class, "What does God want of you?" And they listen and they say, he gets various answers. Well, he wants my money, or he wants this in my life, or he wants me to be good. And at the end, Jim Gardner finally says, "Do you know what the Lord wants of you?" Everything. That's what he wants of you. Everything. He wants it all. He wants you. But we don't realize that. We just want to give the Lord a little bit of this and the dregs of this and a little bit of that. That's not all or nothing at all, and that's not surrender. What does he want from us? Remember, half-hearted Christians cannot serve a wholehearted Savior. Paul was inspired in Romans 14, 7 through 8. Oh, girls, write that one down. Psalm 14, 7 through 8 says, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord, and if we die, guess what? We die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Hallelujah. That's surrender, and that's exactly what the Lord wants from each one of us. He wanted this from the tribes in the Old Testament, and he wants it from you and I here in this moment in time, in this auditorium. Now, girls, I want you to know, the gospel that Jesus came and brought still changes lives and is still working. It's still, people are growing. Do not let Satan fool you and lie to you to make you think the church isn't growing. The church is growing. Classes are going on. People are being baptized. Well, I don't know the gospel. Could you please tell me? So let's write down some scriptures. The Bible says that we need to hear and to believe. In John 8:24, Jesus said this, unless you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. We need to repent, turn around, and live right. Brother Keeble called it backing up. And in Luke 13:5, it says, I tell you, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Well, that's serious business, girls. We must confess Jesus. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, everyone who confesses me before men, what? I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Is that all? On Pentecost, whenever you find, what must we do to be saved? Peter preached to this huge crowd, and it said their hearts were hurting, and so they immediately said, what can I do? And he said, what? Just pray? No, he didn't. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. I want my sins forgiven. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want that too? If you've not become a Christian, girls, let us help you. Come talk to us. You get in the Word. That's where the complete story is. And it'll change your life. And the more you study, the more it reconvicts you. We open up our Bibles and we see the Old Testament and we see God's love. And we go to the New Testament and we stand at the cross. And you really see God's love, don't you? Of course you do. It's the most important book we will ever know from the very lips of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is a two-edged sword, slicing down, and girls, I can't even understand this, between soul and spirit. Think about that. Brother Keeble says it cuts a coming and a going. And it does. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we have the Word? Aren't you thankful that you have a Bible? There are so many of us that have 10 to 15 Bibles in our house. How many times are they, or more, are they opened up? Are they opened up? Do you read them? What does God have to do to you to make you open it up? What does He have to do to me? A lot of times, He lets some bad things happen to us so that we'll get back on our knees and pray. These things that have happened in Boston and Waco are very tragic. What's our prayer? Lord, may someone turn their life over to you. May someone seek you. We're so sorry these things happened. What's the Lord going to do with America? Well, you know what? I leave it up to Him. I just go be Becky the Christian. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. How precious are God's commandments to you? Do you have time for Him? Do you read the Bible? Or are you talking and walking with the Lord? Or are you so busy talking to your friends and texting that you don't have time for God? And you finally get home at night and you sit down on the couch. Oh, I find this to be true. You are so tired. What do? Fall asleep. And your time with the Lord vanishes. Charles Hodge said this, and I just appreciate Peggy for helping me find this. He says, begin the day with God. Meet with God before meeting man. Solve today's problems before you run into them. When I get up in the morning, I look for God, for what He's doing in my life, because I want to be in on it. Give God control of the day, or Satan will take it. Bring God in. He'll find His way out. Have a time. Have a place. Meet with God. Isn't that wise? I want to be a wise woman. As I was preparing these talks, I was meeting the Lord every day. I was studying. I was praying. I was in the Word. And I had to stop and I had to go stir the pot. I had to go stir soup on the stove. Oh, I love to do that. And I was stirring and I turned over to where my kitchen sink is and it looks out on my backyard, which at this time of year is pretty green for Waco. And I thought, Lord, why do I have such peace? Oh, it's so sweet. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm seeking You every day. There's nothing sweeter. What are we doing with our time? And what are we choosing to do with it? We moved to New England when I was 9 years old. I didn't want to go. Don't want to go. Want to stay here with my friends in Oklahoma. Don't want to go up there to New England. But you know what? 9-year-old doesn't get her way, and I'm so thankful we didn't. They didn't listen to me. Our little family of five was so needed. You have to jump in the deep end in the mission field. You have to jump in and work because there's nobody else to do it. You've got to do it. This happened to me. At the age of 14, Becky, we've got a little boy here. His name is Kenny Carpenter. There's no one that's going to teach him his class. You've got to teach Kenny. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, we only had one child, so we didn't have class? Kenny, hi. We're going to sit down and learn. He became my student, my one little boy, for I don't know how many years. He's in his 50s now, and I love that boy. How precious that was. You want me to teach Kenny? All right. Becky, you're 16 years old. The Maddox family across town have no way to get to church. They don't have a car. You've got to go get them. You trust me to drive the car? Yeah. Okay. I'll drive the car. And I went and got the Maddox family. It's 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. Becky, guess what? You've got your PJs on. You can't go to bed yet. I can't go to bed yet? Why not, Mom? Well, the people that signed up to clean the church building haven't shown up. We got to go clean the church building. Oh, man. Oh, man. Call them on the phone and tell them to come back. No, Becky. We don't do that. They haven't learned yet. Becky, you'll have to teach a class at VBS. There's nobody else. It's a class of second graders. Okay, I can do it. How many have signed up? 400. It seemed like 400. It was the biggest class of VBS. There were 20 youngins, I think, 20 or 25. It just seemed to me they went on forever. It was the most exciting VBS of my life. Becky, come take care of Cynthia's kids. We're having a Bible study. I think she's going to become a Christian. Okay, Mom, I'll come take care of the kids. How many she's got? 5. She forgot to add the adjective wild. And they all were converted. And there was no one else, and I had to do it. I felt alive and a part of the church. The church needed me. The Lord needed me. But more than that, I needed Him. And I would never have dreamed of walking away from the Lord, and I wouldn't do it now. Wherever you are in this audience, the Lord has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11-13. You know that, girls. You little chickens in this room, God's going to use you in such a powerful way because He's given you so many wonderful talents. I'm going to be anxious to see what you do for Him. And where are we? We're help lifting them up, helping them. Girls, He's our passion, and it's the only way to live. How important is He to you? You talk about Him. Wherever you go, do you study about Him and share Him with others? Are you a blessing to the people at Walmart? Well, I go there all the time, so I just talk to them all the time. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. Isn't the Lord good? The Lord is good, and they always say, all the time. Beat them to it. You start saying it. Learn to be a light in this horribly dark world. Learn to be that light. Why do you think that God has placed you for such a time as this? This is what it's all about. You know, in Texas, there's a lot of funny things that can happen. In church, one of the experiences that I have that I think is so cute, as you come into the foyer, the cowboy hats are lined up on the hat rack. They're always turned upside down. And they're all sizes, in fact, down to the little boys who just love to wear their cowboy hats and put it up there with Dad's hat. But one of the other things that I've noticed that they say in Texas, and I'm going to start saying it more and more, as they're ending their prayers, a lot of the men and women, as when the women are praying in our Bible classes, will say, Lord, just keep us close to You. Girls, if we want to go to heaven, we're going to have to stay close. We can't go to heaven from afar. It has to be close to Him. In Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, there's a minister who got a bunch of sheep. And he noticed that wherever he went, like Mary had a little lamb, the sheep just went right along, that there were certain sheep that would dog his heels and would nudge him and would come, and they'd want his staff to rub their woolly backs. Not all the flock desired that, only a few. And he called them his pet sheep. I want to be a pet sheep. I want you to be a pet sheep. Girls, I'll tell you something. This life is short. Eternity is forever. And we need to think about it. My mama wrote this poem, and I always read it to my sweet, sweet sisters. I just love you so much. Thank you for being here tonight. The book is over. The writing is done. Our race is ending. The battle's won. Life is short, though of many days, not always simple, always a maze. But what really matters when truth I see? How was the gospel according to me? How'd I live it? Is my husband happy he married me, or does he regret it every day? How about my children? Are they glad that I was sent to be their mama? How about my sisters in the church? Do they love me, or do they, when they see me coming, or do they run the other way? I know it's lots to think about. You've been so precious and so sweet. I say this wherever I go, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If our paths never cross again, I will see you in heaven, and that's a promise. God bless, girls.